Welcome to VarroCast, MovieVarro.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, managing editor for the site, and today I'm here with writers Scott and Matt, and we're going to talk about the District 9 Varro and trailer that's come out. We'll talk about the Funny People Varro, because I find that pretty interesting. And then Matt's going to do a little review of Bruno to start off. So, Matt, go ahead and tell us about Bruno.
It was a good movie. I found it to be funnier and more interesting than Borat, because Borat just Borat is one of the movies that once you see it once, it's not worth it to see it again. But I could see myself watching Bruno over and over because it's just so hilarious.
Really?
Because homophobia is like five times more funnier than racism.
You got a point.
Do you have stats to back that up?
Yes, I do. Yes,
this hasn't been released yet.
But is it okay if I'm going to put a little spoiler warning here? But
okay.
At the end of Bruno, they set up a cage fight. Straight Dave's muscle something.
Mm-hmm.
But Bruno comes out and he's got a fake beard and long hair and he's wearing a plaid shirt with the sleeves cut off.
Okay.
And he comes out to Back in Black by AC/DC.
Nice.
And in the audience, someone yells out and calls him a fag.
Mm-hmm.
And so he challenges him to come up there and fight him. And once he gets up there, it turns out that it's his ex-boyfriend. And they end up having gay sex in the middle of the ring and like all rednecks. They're just looking at it in shock and awe. They're throwing beer cans, and then like right in the middle of it, some dude just throws a chair into the cage and like it almost hit Bruno right in the face.
Wow.
There was another moment in the film that was completely worth the admission price. And this is where Bruno, played by Sacha Baron Cohen, creates a Fox reality show like the one he had in Austria, but it's in America, and he interviews Paula Abdul, as can be seen on the TV spots, and he shows it to a focus group. And there's just various shots of his bulge, or moose knuckle, as some people like to call it. And he's like, here, and he keeps on hyping up an exclusive interview with Harrison Ford the entire show. And then at the end, they actually show it, and it's just Harrison Ford coming out of a restaurant. Then Bruno sticks a mic up to him. He's like, what's up, Harrison Ford? And Harrison Ford's just like, fuck off. He just says, fuck off, and then he goes into his car, and it's like 30 seconds long. And then there's like, I don't know, like half a minute of, at the end of the show, it's just Bruno's dick.
Wow.
Like just swinging around and everything, like nothing on it.
Wow.
And it actually says the words Bruno. Like, it's like the pee hole is the mouth and the shaft is the vocal cord.
Wow.
It was very hilarious. It was one of the best parts of the movie.
Family fun right there.
Yep.
Exactly.
I don't think I'm going to make it to see that movie.
And I can take your kid?
Oh, no. It's completely worth it.
Oh, jeez.
There's some awesome boobage in it, so.
Wow, that's,
it's a win-lose situation.
It's a small price to pay.
Yeah, you know. All right, well, let's get into something that's actually noteworthy. District 9 has had a bunch of updates recently. Obviously, the big thing is the new trailer. So what did you guys think of the trailer?
IR hated it.
Yeah, you're one of the few. So what
it just seemed
you might be
too
the only.
Yeah. Matt,
it seemed too robotic to me.
Like the,
I thought so. It was a little odd.
What was robotic? The trailer itself, or the characters, or what was robotic specifically?
Like, it just seemed to have like a metalish look to it, and the mechs and the aliens looked like they were robotic, except for the one that looked like he was made of bones.
Yeah, well, most of them are CGI. So that's.
I thought they were using puppets.
No, they're using mostly CGI. They said they were going for kind of a puppet look from one of the interviews I read, but a lot of it's CGI, like the one where it's jumping on top of the you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
that stuff's obviously. But
I think some of the stuff that
I'm sure
that's slower,
yeah,
like
sure.
Where they're like on the spaceship where they're interrogating George.
Right.
Is it Christopher now?
I think the whole robotic thing comes into, like, it went from the first trailer, all the hype about it was, this is an alien movie, this is a movie about where aliens come, blah, blah, blah. And now all of a sudden there's little robotic bugs fighting, there's, you know, mech suits, there's spaceships. It went a little high tech.
Well, were the little things robotic? I thought that they were like animals.
I don't know. It was such a quick scene that it was just tough to tell.
Yeah.
They look like the tails from the Facehuggers.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that. But well, yeah. I mean, I think that's not the. And I think the point of the movie is more of the. I was surprised how heavy the action was. I mean, I kept thinking from everything that we've read, it seemed like it was going to be more about like the this message and about the that kind of stuff.
Like a documentary.
Yeah. I knew it was going to be like a movie. I mean, there's a lot of people who think it's supposed to be like a documentary, like a fake documentary, but I knew it was going to be a lot more like a real movie. But I thought that the tone of the movie was going to be a lot more like about the drama and about the message and about, you know, this whole idea of showing the class systems and everything. But I was really surprised to see how, you know, action-packed it was. And you're right, high-tech, for instance. You know, I was really surprised by that. I mean, I liked it, and I thought that you're right. They still bring in a lot of that documentary stuff, and I mentioned that in my screen caps breakdown that I had on the site, where there's, you know, there's the security camera, there's the documentary film, there's the MNU thing. Like, there's a lot of in-world cameras. So I think that they're going to bring that in to kind of ground the film to make it more realistic. But I think it's still, obviously, as we've seen in some of the clips, it's going to be like a real movie still.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, I think...
Go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say, do you think those people in the documentary, do you think that they're just legit people? They're locals?
Like the people that, like in the little clips that we've seen on the viral?
All those stuff that you see on the D9 website and everything, do you think they're regular old locals?
I think so. I mean, I think that there's a lot of hatred that MNU kind of subversively puts out there. And so maybe these people haven't really encountered it that way, but just from what they've heard, very 1984 style, where kind of what you hear is what you know. And so I think that that's what you're getting. I mean, these are people who actually maybe believe what they're saying. And, you know, like the one where they're talking about what they eat, you know, they don't know what these people eat probably. Like, you know, they think that they just know what they hear and something like that probably, or,
true.
You know, what a friend said or what MNU is kind of telling them. I'm sure most of the time they don't even see it, you know.
And they could be blamed for other stuff, like. Right. If someone's dog turns up dead, they could blame the non-humans. Or if someone shows up dead in the street, they could blame the non-humans.
Oh yeah, it's classic. I mean, it's very. I mean, this movie's really about the message of apartheid and stuff like that. And I think
it's more about illegal aliens, actually.
My article
exactly. Scott has a great article on the site linking District 9 and the messages behind it with illegal immigration. It's quite interesting to see that perspective, since everyone talks about, you know, the African apartheid things. That's where the director and writer is from and everything. So, but the, you know, the great cloud looking like America and
the apartheid thing. I mean, one of the biggest things is that it looks almost like it's an illegal immigration type thing. Is you go to MNU's website and they have jobs posted for aliens. You go to, you know, you don't post jobs during the apartheid. It's
Yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't compare it to that. You know, it's
tough. Yeah. I mean, there's obviously some things that are similar and some things that are different. You have to make it fit your story. So I'm sure it pulls from a lot of different things. It's trying to tell a specific its own message. But I'm sure it pulls from all these different areas.
Well, if they're pulling an apartheid, then who's going to be the aliens, Nelson Mandela?
maybe it'll end up being Wiccus from some of the things that we've seen from the trailer. I mean, it looks like he's either going to turn into a hybrid or maybe even one of them. I think it's a little extreme, but...
Christopher's a wanted alien. You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it seems to me that people aren't really very informed about the movie because on our forum here, they acted like Wiccus or the aliens protecting Wiccus was new. And that's been out since they showed the Show West footage.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can really know about a film. I mean, unless you're really following it,
or unless it gets leaked.
Yeah, too. But you see that I was just watching someone's YouTube page. They had posted one of the viral videos that we have on there too, and theirs said it was a Halo 3 adaptation, and this is like only like a week or two ago. So you have a lot of misconceptions out there about films, especially a film like this where it's very viral and it's, you know, not a lot was known about it. I mean, the first trailer came out just, you know, and it was in June, and that's, you know, like 2 or 3 months before the movie comes out. That's extremely late for a trailer to come out.
And of course, we sat there and, you know, we picked on the whole thing too. We kept saying, "Wow, this is weak. Well, you know, there's nothing going on. What, you know, when are they going to pick it up?" And now it's like, well, we can't even keep up with it.
Yeah,
it
seems
to be coming out of us all over.
Exactly. And you look at the, you know, most of my screenshots that I picked from the, I had 34 screenshots. The majority of them are from like the second half of that trailer. It's just, you know, these quick little clips, and but it just seems like there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well. You said that someone thought it was a Halo 3 adaption. Well, I could possibly see that because Neil Blomkamp, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, something
like that. He directed 2 or 3 Halo 3 shorts to to promote it, and it's pretty much the exact same camera style.
Yeah, I mean, well, it makes sense. I mean, some people
just shoot in the same camera styles, too. I mean, they've been talking about Halo since the Alive and Joburg thing came out, that, you know, oh, this is a Halo movie.
Yeah.
But if anything, I think it draws from Half-Life more because the weapon that Wickish uses
looks
just like the gravity gun.
Yeah, I found that to be a little weird. I found that to be kind of like this whole thing. Yeah, there's a lot of tech and a lot of stuff, but it still was pretty grounded, pretty dark. But then all of a sudden at the end, he uses this kind of silly gun, shockwave gun. I found that to be a little weird.
I mean, I feel
well, watch the newscast on the District9Movie.com website. If you watch the newscast, they mention basically that's an illegal weapon. So whose is it, though? Is it an alien weapon? Is it a human weapon? You know, what? So we'll,
I imagine it's probably...
It has to be an alien weapon, since on the MNU site, they say they have the schedule for everything. And so they haven't... what is it? Where you take something and you, like... backtrace it.
To reverse engineer?
Oh, yeah, reverse engineer. And so they shouldn't have the weapon jet, so I believe they come from the aliens.
And at the same time, there's the ballistics video where it says normal guns can't go through the skin of the aliens, so it very well could be...
Oh, something they created for the aliens?
Something that they created to get after them, so...
Huh, yeah, that's a good point. Go ahead, Matt.
I kind of think that... Sony is pulling a bait and switch here, like the Weinsteins are with Inglourious Basterds.
In what way?
How so?
Because from what I hear, the film is very grounded in reality, and it's not so much an action film, more of a film with a message, with like a little bit of action thrown in. Because I know for a fact Inglourious Basterds isn't action-packed.
Yeah, I've heard about that, where it's a lot of talking, but it's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, right. It's a lot of talking. But... remember how they advertised Grindhouse, how they showed all the cool scenes from Death Proof?
Yeah.
I went in there, I thought Death Proof was going to be awesome. I thought it was going to be full of car chases, and it's talking for 30 minutes, someone gets killed, talking for an hour.
Yeah, it's pretty bad where they...
hours. Made up for it.
Yeah. Matt's cutting out. Can you hear me? Matt, you're cutting.
Can you hear me completely?
Yeah, we'll edit this, don't worry.
P.S. Death Proof was awesome.
You liked that movie?
Oh, God, yeah.
It was really good at the end. That's about it.
Yeah, the end car chase was awesome. I'll admit that. And I love the part where, like, the wheel goes over that chick's face.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I liked the first one first, Planet Terror. I really liked that one.
But that wasn't a real Grindhouse film.
Yeah, whatever.
That was just a tribute. Death Proof was actually like a Grindhouse movie.
No, you're right. All right, so going back to District 9.
Can I finish my thing?
Oh, what was your point?
I was going to say this. You weren't even listening to me, were you?
No, I heard you. I forgot for a second. You're talking about something, right?
Well, I was going to say that I think this could come back to bite Sony right in the ass because I'm pretty sure Inglourious Basterds is going to have a big drop because all the crazy rednecks who see it advertised on UFC are going to go see it because they think it's a badass war movie.
Right.
But it's not, and some people are going to go see this because they think this is Blade Runner or Running Man or something. But
that's smart by them, then.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that point.
And then they go to see it, and then it drops.
Yeah,
but had they just advertised it like it was, then it would have had good word of mouth, and it would have kept on going steady.
I mean, this very well could be the high-tech, you know, action kind of movie. You look at Neil's old commercials that he did. They were all robotic, you know. So it for all we know, the message might not even be there. It might just be there's aliens.
Yeah,
they're human. But they're fighting, and
yeah,
and that's it. You know?
It's tough to tell from just this stuff. I mean, obviously, they're going to put their best stuff in the trailer. But, you know, it could be a nice blend. It could be something more like Death Proof where they, you know, or Inglourious Basterds. But I think it really doesn't matter to Sony. They just want to get people in the seats, especially that first weekend, because that's where the studio gets the biggest percentage of the cut.
No, isn't that where the movie theater gets the biggest percentage of the cut?
No, it's the other way around. Yeah, that's why they pump these things out. That's why they want these things to do so well that first weekend. They don't care about the rest of the time. That's why the studios make crappy films and just promote the hell out of them. Because they want to make big money on the first weekend.
Didn't Regal screw New Line out of like $100 million on Lord of the Rings?
I don't remember.
Because I remember hearing something where New Line was suing Regal for taking most of the money from like taking illegal percentages from Lord of the Rings because it was doing so well. Right. And it was a Peter Jackson film, so maybe the same thing could happen with District 9.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the situation.
Lord of the Rings sucked anyway, so.
Man, you really don't like a lot of things that people like.
Yeah.
Okay, so more about the District 9. I mean, we talked a little bit about the viral videos. Scott had a really great article on the site about where all these things are. You know, it could be kind of hard to find them. So tell us a little bit about the videos.
Well, again, I mean, there's a few right now. You can go through to the D9.com, off to the right-hand side of the map. There's a drop-down, and all of the videos, basically the videos of the locals, can be found there. So whether it be video of discussing when they first saw the aliens land, what they eat, you know, the increase of crime and things like that, they can go there. If you go over to District9movie.com, a lot of the better videos can be found there. That's the one where you basically hear about the ballistics of the alien, their skin, they're, you know, basically impervious to the bullets and whatnot. They, you know, they can't even regular bullets just bounce off of them. Mm-hmm. There's the message from the CEO of MNU, which is, you know, pretty decent. It's the whole politician kind of, you know, we're here to help you sort of thing. But the newest one is basically the day in the life of an MNU agent. Who basically not even an agent. He does office work, and they brought him in on the field. So you kind of wonder if things obviously are just getting out of hand.
Right.
And they're bringing in their reserves to fill in the voids, you know. So, and the fact that, you know, I'm not going to give it away. I want people to go and look at it if they haven't seen it yet. I know some people haven't been able to view them, but
right.
That's a pretty interesting video that starts to give things away a little bit more of what the aliens are capable of with their technology. So
yeah, so I found that stuff so fascinating. And another video that I think you even posted about earlier was the one about the eggs. About how I found that to be almost, you know, they're saying that first of all the aliens are asexual, and that, and then also the fact that they pretty much don't pay attention to the eggs. I think it was, or like they're not nurturing to it.
You know, they just it's. Kind of like a drop and go situation. They, you know, and there's no need to take care of it.
Right. And so one of the things that I found about that video was like, that seems very surprising. And then also I thought, well, maybe this could be propaganda where, you know, you're trying to dehumanize these guys. You know, you don't want people to believe that they're human-like. And so you start spreading out fake stuff. So you might say that they're asexual because that's very unhuman. You might say that they don't take care of their young. So that's very unhuman.
And it's possible too. I mean, if you look at the style of the video shoot, the shaky camera, the old style film grain, it probably is just a propaganda type film and it means nothing. They just want people to know that, you know, asexual aliens can increase their population in a matter of minutes and, you know, they're coming for you kind of a thing. So it's, I don't know. Out of all the films, most with a documentary type style, that one is one that sticks out the most, the actual film style. So it probably is an attack on the aliens. So
yeah, it's just it's interesting to see why they're – I mean, we know that they're trying to get the tech, and from the trailer, there obviously seems to be some force, maybe not exactly MNU, or maybe it is at the top of the MNU, where, you know, this kind of sinister force behind it. And you see that, especially in the trailer, they kind of push that a little bit. Yep. And so,
yeah, they could be, you know, a high-paid contractor or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, brought in to keep it on the hush-hush.
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics here. And one of the things I remember from the trailer was, you know, they're showing a news feed, and it's saying that there's evacuations happening. And that you see all these MNU things coming in. So
you mean evictions?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, eviction. Yes. Same thing happens. So it's the same. So they're doing all these evictions, and it seems like it's a mass spread thing. So it's kind of like, well, what's going on? You know. So there's little things like that you can really catch if you pay attention to it.
Right.
Well, something the propaganda film you were just talking about that right. reminds me so much of the Watchmen video from. Back when you covered that campaign, mm-hmm. where it was the propaganda Keen Act video.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was the same style of footage to where it was... I mean, obviously, with that, you know, that movie, it was fit within the era. So the video, you know, was right around that time frame and stuff. But I don't know, with this one, it just seems a little odd that...
Well, they landed 28 years ago, so it could have been made.
And that's the other thing, too, is I made a... You know, a comment about, you know, here's this video of all these people talking about when the aliens landed. Mm-hmm. You would think they'd be a little bit more freaked out about it. So it's like, all right, well, is this 28 years ago they landed in Johannesburg, but years prior they landed somewhere else?
Hmm.
So that was not, you know, such a shock that they showed up in.
Yeah. Well, it's been 28 years. I mean, so you're going to not be that shocked about
it. True. I guess you're not going to say 28 years ago I was like, what? No.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of you look back on it, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You don't want to sound like you're stupid, so you'd be like, oh, you know, oh, what is, you know, you act like it was kind of normal, but
true.
But yeah, I mean, you see, most of the people tend to be more upset about them being here than it was than being, you know, awed and inspired and shocked by it. You know, it's not like Independence Day where maybe at the beginning it was where, you know, people are on top of the roof saying "Take me with you" or whatever, yeah. You know, it seems it's. Here's what happens if it's Independence Day, but then instead of trying to destroy you, they just happen to be living with you.
Is right. Independence Day the one where Will Smith puts a virus on a spaceship with the computer?
Yeah, he does do that.
With the help of the cable guy.
Yeah. Well, he's a very smart cable guy, so that makes it okay.
Most are.
Yeah, there you go. I love that movie.
We have that new poster for District 9.
Yeah, they changed it up a little bit. Yeah, Matt.
I kind of want to discuss, but the first poster I absolutely loved, which you would have known that if Dr. Douchebag would have published my article, but...
You're too slow.
Yeah, the new article, the new poster puts the spaceship right in your face like it's not supposed to be normal, and that doesn't really reflect the film for me.
Mm.
Like it's just something just showed up, you know, like it's a horror movie.
Right. Yet,
the old poster, it just like something has been there for a while. And it seemed normal.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how I can't think of an example, but just like how new buildings, they're considered normal after a little bit.
Right.
Well, I mean, I look at, you know, if you look at the first poster, it didn't get, you know, a lot of hype on it and stuff like that, but you look at the first poster, it's almost look like as if it was shot from the human side.
Mm-hmm.
Alien, you know, the spaceship was in the distance. You can see the fence, non-humans, you know, warning, blah, blah, blah. The new poster is almost like it's shot from the alien side because it's right under the ship and the sign says humans not allowed.
Right.
I know, but so, wouldn't that be from if it said humans not allowed, wouldn't that be from the human side because they'd be looking at it?
Well, that's what Dan and I kind of argued about.
Well, it's all about perspective. They're just trying to make – they're trying to put as much thing into one poster as you can put in there. So I think – I don't know if they're looking – it's like people trying to look too closely at the Cloverfield poster. You know, it's
– nice. New Funny People TV spot.
Yeah, they –
on the television right now.
Yeah, that might be a good segue into Funny People. There's a pretty good viral for Funny People. You know, I think that you don't see a lot of comedies doing viral. Obviously, last year,
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, no, Matt reminded me. I totally forgot about that. Actually, Matt reminded me that Tropic Thunder had a good one last year, and then Bruno has a little bit of one this year, and then we have Funny People. So that's pretty much the history of comedies doing viral. But basically, Funny People is about people, these comedians and there's an actual story too, but the viral really kind of dwells into the characters as opposed to the story. And there's character pages for a couple of the main guys. George Simmons, played by Adam Sandler. Then there's Mark Taylor Jackson, played by Jason Schwartzman. And then Randy, who's played by Aziz Ansari. I can never say his name. there's character, there's all of them have their own character homepages, which are very funny. And then there's something called Yo Teach. I don't know if you have you guys actually watched any of the videos for Yo
it's
Teach.
It's terrible.
It's so it's shitty, but it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's almost over the top. But and that's
yeah, but it's so supposed to be terrible that it actually is terrible.
It's like not even like comically terrible. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's like Slumber Party Massacre 2.
There you go.
I give him credit though, because if you go, I think the original link started from NBC's website, right?
Yeah, that was the first place they had it.
And you know, it had you know, you can order their videos and things like that. So I mean, they went as far as to getting you almost into a shopping cart. You know, that's how much they've actually spent on their viral,
right?
To where the video was back ordered. You know?
Yeah, it's they really put a lot of effort into it. I mean, there's a YouTube page and a Hulu page for it too. It's the same video. It's basically clips of the show. It's this kind of crappy sitcom about Mark Taylor Jackson, that character's character being. I know it's kind of weird to get into these things where it's like it's an actor playing a person. It's like whoa, what? But yeah, so he's basically a teacher and he's trying to be cool and everything, and it's pretty.
It reminds me of the South Park episode where Cartman became a teacher.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Yeah, obviously not as funny, but well, that's one of the things I noticed from all the viral things of the homepages and everything is that it seems a little over the top. I mean, obviously, I just posted on YouTube a video of some of the ones from George Simmons, Adam Sandler's character, some of his clips from his movies where they're obviously a take on himself. He kind of plays himself. And so it's basically over the top, silly movies, you know, in the same vein as, you know, Eddie Murphy and stuff like that. But it just seems like they've tried a little too hard. Like, you know, they were even, I felt sometimes it was like, they're kind of funny, but then they went one step too far. Like Matt was saying, like, it was so bad, it's bad. Like, I felt sometimes it was a little bit overboard, but in general, they're pretty funny. I like Randy's site the most, probably.
Yeah, that one's so funny. Yeah. I don't know what I don't know what I'd do without the soundboard for Randy.
I love that soundboard. He's the most vulgar comic ever. Like,
I'd see him.
Yeah, but it's like he doesn't even. I was watching some of his clips, and it's not even like jokes. It's just him swearing and saying like vulgar things.
What's wrong with that?
I know.
Yeah, that's what Matt does on a regular basis.
I know.
Exactly.
But yeah,
I was watching the. I think it was the Red Band trailer the other day, or something like that, and they had that little clip of Jonah Hill's YouTube video with him and the cat.
Oh yeah.
And I want that to be released. I want that to be the next viral.
There you go.
Then I'll see the movie. That would make me happy. I watch Jonah Hill going back and forth with a cat.
But still, it is a straight-up rip-off of the Tropic Thunder viral.
Well, in what
There's
way?
No products, though. There's no products endorsement like Tropic Thunder. Though.
It was just booty sweat. That's it.
Well, yeah, but...
That's a huge thing, though. I mean, if you can endorse some kind of product involved in your viral, that's
huge. But booty sweat isn't real.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It was still something.
No, I mean,
you know, it was still a product. It's not a TV show. It wasn't somebody's website. It was an actual, product.
Yeah, but they had trailers for all the films that they advertised online. They had Scorcher 4, Return of Scorcher, Satan's Alley with the MTV Movie Awards Best Kiss winner, Tobey Maguire.
Exactly.
That was when.
But it's the same thing. You're right. Just because it's a ripoff, I don't think – they're a very similar subject matter. You know, it's about – it's actors playing actors. It's a similar concept. Now this is a straight up comedy thing with some drama in it, whereas that one's more of an action comedy. But you know, if you're gonna do, maybe that says something. The fact that you know here are the only one of the two few comedies who've done viral, and they're both about actors playing actors. That's an interesting
Bruno
point.
Did a little bit
right, and that's what I'm saying. There are only two of only a few, and you know, so you look at that, and it's interesting to see. You know, if that's the only way you can do a viral, you know, I mean, like, what other, you know, obviously you haven't seen many virals for comedies, so maybe that's the kind of the trick is to do it for this kind of film. I don't know.
I mean, eventually they're all going to start to blend in with each other. You can only do so much.
Right.
I mean, we start off with Cloverfield, and we had, you know, a few sites that we followed and stuff like that. And now we jump into, like, District 9 that's bumped it up to 5 or 6 different sites.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that your difference? Are you going to add more sites or, you know, I mean...
Yeah, where do you go?
There's not too many different places you can go that are, you know, eventually going to start costing you money to viral marketing, you know?
Right. So. Yeah, I mean, you there's only so much you can do. I mean, it's more. I think it's more about making the sites you have more interesting. And I think District 9 has done that pretty great with their D9 site and their District 9 movie site. There's a lot of viral.
Yeah, I mean, they've got
and the billboards and the bus
billboards, yeah,
and things like that. I mean, they're. I don't know. I mean, we mocked them the other, you know, not too long ago because it just wasn't coming out. But you look at it. I mean, they've got stuff that's involved as big as marketing with billboards that's obviously costing them a ton of money to do,
right,
compared to a website. But I mean, some other websites are high end websites compared to, you know, Maths from Outer Space, which is the weakest website you could possibly have. So the fact that they're throwing in those generic websites is a big step.
It's setting up for something later.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what I think 2012 is trying to do with Charlie Frost, because I think once it's actually coming towards the release date of the movie, I think we're going to get Charlie Frost videos pumping out, because in the movie timeline, right now, it's 2012.
Right.
Like
Cloverfield. Well, the question is the viral also taking place in 2012?
Well, it should be, because
it
still has the
there's
Institute.
No proof it is. I mean, it's just because it's, you know, 2009. I mean, that's still 3 years away. You still have to make plans for it. So I think you can make the argument that the viral takes place now, or, you know, maybe it takes place then. It's hard to tell.
And I think majority of the virals take place now anyways, because District 9, that's all taking place now. If you go to, you know, their timeline, they have August 14th listed as Breach Day. So it's, you know, they're leading up to things. So majority of the viral almost has to be current to lead you up to the story in the movie, so you don't have to think about the viral anymore.
Yeah.
You know it's there.
Right. You know. And that's, I think that's the problem.
Well, Cloverfield.
That's what I was just going to mention, Cloverfield. Go ahead, Matt.
As everyone knows, Cloverfield did the royal buttfuck of doom on us, where on 11808.com, I'm sure everyone who followed the viral will remember this, but the timestamps on the photos read 11808
right
at like midnight. And then on the movie, we think it's 11808 all the time until the end, and then he's like, "Hello, my name is Robert Hawkins. Today's date is June 23rd.
It was like May something.
May 23rd.
Regardless, it was. Point. But yeah, that was true. I
found that to be
that
upsetting.
Made me mad.
Yeah,
that really
me too.
Made me mad.
I felt
and
the
that
same
could
way.
Have been the reason why most of the virals now are doing it almost the right way, and they're making it known that it's current. You know, you're looking at
or
current.
Make it known that it's current, or make it known that it's not.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, because that was something that I was really upset about. Cause, you know, you go through this effort to make a viral and everything, and then you don't take the care to make sure that it matches up. You know, those kind of things piss me off. It's like, well, why bother doing it if you're not going to do it right?
Yeah. And the Star Trek viral pissed me off too.
I found that to be extremely confusing.
I figured it out, but you were supposed to warn Vulcan of Nero going to do the royal buttfuck on them. But how are you supposed to warn a planet that doesn't exist?
Right.
When the thing that happens, what, like, what was the star date? Like 3,000 years in the future?
No, it's like 200 years in the future. But that's the thing, and you're right though. I mean, that's an issue. I think I mentioned this before with viral. Is it's hard to do viral campaigns for movies that don't take place now. You know,
Terminator Salvation did it pretty well with the time travel thing.
Well, because they have time travel built into it, and it makes sense for the storyline. But you know, a regular film like that takes place in the future, or a film that takes place in the past. You know, doing websites for it are kind of hard. Now, I could see one that takes place in the past. Maybe you could find ways to do websites about, you know, historical stuff, but in the future,
yeah, like you could create an old style website with HTML and everything, no flash,
right? But if a movie takes place, you know, like in the 1800s, you know. I mean, you could do like a historical site about it or something, you know, something like that.
That's why we don't have any vowels for historical films.
Right. I think they're going to get to the point where they're going to figure out how to do it.
We don't have it yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Watchmen, that was just an epic fail because they didn't even have internet back then.
Yeah.
Like, that's if tough. Even if they did have internet, because I don't know history.
There's
much,
a different timeline, yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to create Flash or anything.
Well, again, it's a different timeline.
Up the internet. It was, you know, the web pages and stuff like that for Watchmen weren't internet web pages. They were pictures of files.
Right.
They, New Frontiersman was a picture of a newspaper, though. It wasn't a website. It was an article. It was a newspaper. It was a folder with articles involved. It wasn't a website.
Right. It just happened. It was that's how it was put onto the site, but it actually was, you know, an actual newspaper.
Right. So, I mean, that's what
But the New Frontiersman was in the film for what, like 30 seconds?
Yeah. But, you know, but still, you look at the viral, you look at, you know, Cloverfield and all that crap we followed for that, and that was barely in the film, so.
There was two things related to the viral in the film. The Takuyacho logo on the tanker and Jason's shirt.
Yep. So, that's the thing, you gotta, maybe it's
and
one of the.
Sweet.
But that's why they're making.
Yeah,
oh, wait, she was on the couch for 5 seconds.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all I needed.
That technically counts. But no, we gotta look at. I think the Transformers, although
you know, that was one of the best jobs of incorporating a viral into a film.
Exactly. I mean, one of the characters in the film was actually one of the big characters was actually part of the viral. Was actually a big character in the viral. So I found that, you know, for whatever you think about the film, that's at least one, I think, credit that they have is they found a nice way to kind of fuse those two together.
They pulled that off so well. But it's sad that not many people know of the real effing deal.
Right, it's still pretty. It wasn't a big viral.
Because I was recently on an unnamed forum, plug our competition, but they said in the Transformers 2 boards, they said the real effing deal is real, and the site's been up for like 2 months, right?
Yeah, it's only been up for a few months.
But, they just pulled it off so perfectly because they integrated the viral into the film.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knight didn't do that, but Dark Knight did very well because in Dark Knight, you didn't follow, neither of you followed that, did you?
Not that much, no.
Well, they had Gotham Tonight webcast, like new shows.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And it led them up, and on the last one, it was Gotham Tonight reporting at the scene of the Joker's bank robbery.
Mm.
And it starred Anthony Michael Hall, remember the reporter?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We had to chase down the man-child, Reese, to protect him. So it was just tied in so great. And you even got to vote in the Gotham district attorney election.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it integrated it pretty well, I thought. I mean, Transformers did it more, like, right into the face of the film. But yes. I thought that, you know, background-wise, Dark Knight did pretty well with their viral integration.
Cloverfield gave us a backstory to it.
Right.
But it didn't
show up in the film at all.
I mean, because if you follow the viral for a film, it's supposed to make the film better. Because on the real effing deal, I was following that,
but
and
you know
I
what?
See it in,
I mean, I don't know, Cloverfield. Go ahead, Scott. I mean, I was gonna say Cloverfield. I don't know. We hear certain people on the forums and stuff like that were just so sick of Cloverfield, you know, the party and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And Cloverfield did do a good job of getting you into the film because you knew who those people were. If you didn't follow the viral, it didn't matter. You know, there were people at a party who were getting attacked. If you did follow the viral, you knew those people at the party. So, I mean, they all have their different ways. I think District 9 is, you know, got a decent thing when you go to the community watch.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to clips of people that are following the viral, you know.
Yeah. Maybe my voice will end up on there.
We've had Nick on there, and I think, you know, David was on there and stuff like that. That kind of stuff, I mean, it's cool. It's bringing you into the movie in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
So the
interactiveness, I think, is something that District 9 has really touched upon, and obviously we've seen it with winning prizes when it comes to like The Dark Knight, and even Star Trek, mm-hmm. you know? So, right. I mean, there's a lot of different ways where you're trying to find ways to make your viral, you know, really touch people. So whether it's, you know, interactiveness, whether it's
right.
Winning prizes, you know, background of story characters, you know, I mean, that's one of the good things about the Cloverfield. And like you said, it's, you know, it gave you that background. So if you wanted to, I mean, it lets you jump right into that film.
Right.
So, well, but
I didn't.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, on the Cloverfield viral, the reason I didn't like it adding up to the film is because when I was reading the MySpace pages, I thought they were all douchebags.
Well, they are.
Straight up douchebags, all of them.
No, they are.
Marlena, sweet, sweet Marlena. She was a douche. Mm.
Yeah, no, they are. And that's the whole point of the movie is that here are these yuppie white kids, and what happens when they have to face real adversity? That's the point of the film. So
it makes them even more real. I mean, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you look at.
I know, but how could there be so many douchebags and Abercrombie models in one place at
New York.
One time?
It's New York.
Gone to, Matt, come to New York.
Yes, I've gone to New York.
I'll take you around.
Yeah,
at least I didn't go to Jersey.
Oh. You gotta realize though, if you're you know a douchey yuppie kid, you're gonna make friends with who? Douchey yuppie kids.
And what happens to douchey yuppie kids? Monster attacks.
Exactly. No, but so
yes, but
it makes
Beth
sense.
Survived. That ruined the movie for me.
Well, technically, you don't know.
Yeah, we do.
No, you don't.
Because in the alternate ending on the DVD, you hear Beth yell out "Rob."
No, notice how you said alternate. That means that they didn't put that in for a reason.
One, alternate, and two, the video, the original video, was taped over another video, so Hey Rob could have been from current, Hey Rob could have been from 2 days
ago. No, it showed the aftermath of the footage with the rubble, and it showed a miner's light, like something you'd use to go down to a mine, so it would have...
But it also showed Beth getting on a subway right before the monster attack. I mean, there's all these different, you know, not the monster attack, but towards the end of the movie and stuff, so...
Right.
I don't know. Who knows? And if they make one, I'll be a happy man, but they should.
They really need a sequel to expand on the viral, because I just feel so wrong that such great potential has been wasted with Cloverfield.
But think about it. That was almost like the first real viral.
Yeah.
You don't know what to expect. No. You look back at it now that you're mad.
You
could be
wrong.
Mad at everything.
Matt.
No, you are wrong.
No, okay,
wrong.
I'm gonna mute you. You're arguing that Dark Knight's first, right? Because they came out first.
No, I'm not arguing that Dark Knight's first.
Okay, what was first then?
Let's see here. AI, Halo 2.
Yeah, Halo's a game. So.
Yeah, but it's still a viral.
Yeah, but it's still a game.
Yeah,
but But you take that away. But you look at films. I don't think AI had a very intricate one. And then
what?
Explain to me the AI viral then.
It was made by 42 Entertainment. That's all I have to say.
So.
Continue.
I can give you an example of you know the most famous director is making crappy films. So like that doesn't mean anything.
You said you liked AI.
I thought AI was interesting and it was a good film, but I didn't say anything about the viral. I'm saying that just because a studio tends to make good virals doesn't mean every single one's going to be good. So I don't think you can make the argument that them.
But I'm just saying that Scott said that Cloverfield was the first real ARG, but it was actually The Beast.
The Beast?
Yeah, it was the one for AI.
Oh, well,
and for 12 weeks and. Reading the Wikipedia.
Yeah, but guess what? None of us had heard of it except for you, so I think that means something.
Yes, because you guys are true viralists.
Oh, of course. No, but that's the whole point, though. It shouldn't just be for pure violence. But so I think a lot of people knew about the Cloverfield one. I mean, it brought people together, and I would argue too that I think Cloverfield and Dark Knight were the first two to really kind of grab hold of the new technology available with the internet. And to really do an interactive viral for it,
right?
Yeah,
a lot of people were able to follow.
Isle of Bees had people running across to every payphone in New York.
Okay,
interesting. I mean,
no, there's ways to do viral without internet. I'm more focused on internet. Yeah, there's a lot of movies that in the past have done stunts, they've done things that you may call viral.
G.I. Joe just recently did one.
Right.
Yeah, so, but G.I. Joe's wasn't so much viral. G.I. Joe's was more marketing.
It's still, yeah, exactly. I mean, it may be a viral in the sense of it, but it's not part of a campaign. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of movies. You go back all the way to Psycho, where you, although it was opening night, the fact that they wouldn't let anybody in after the first, I think it was 5 minutes or something like that. Like, you couldn't come in late and they wouldn't let you in. Like, it was a big stunt that everyone heard about for this premiere. And so, therefore, people wanted to see the film because it's like, oh, we can't come in. Like, people, you know, this kind of stuff where you do alternative advertising has been around for a very long time. But I think we're more talking about the whole interactive web stuff. That's where we're, you know, that's what we're kind of focused on.
Yeah, but a viral campaign is a viral campaign. I mean, right. if they would have had The Fallen, a CGI model of The Fallen, broadcast in Times Square, would we consider that viral or a marketing campaign?
Well, it's all both. I mean, I would consider it definitely to be viral. And I argue that, you know, like I said, the G.I. Joe...
It depends on what he says. If it's The Fallen saying, come see my movie.
Right. Well, there you go.
Then
true.
That's marketing.
That's true.
The G.I. Joe thing was just a guy hanging out of a helicopter with G.I. Joe written across the helicopter. I mean, that's not viral. It's marketing. It's...
Yeah.
No,
there was no kind of an action involved. There was nothing that brings you into it. I think that's the biggest thing with viral. Mm-hmm. Is that it's bringing you into it. It's making you look for.
Right. Yeah. And it's usually part of that. It's part of that world, too.
That's what I Love Bees did. It brought you into it. It brought you to go to payphones, to get codes, to write down into a computer, to send to an email, to get an email back, to take it out and spray paint it on some wall, to get some guy to see that spray painted wall, type it in on some computer key, and then get a free demo of Halo 2.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of this stuff around, but I think that, you know. You got to look at when have this kind of new age of viral where, you know, where films can do these things and do really interactive virals. You know, when did this really kind of start? I mean, there's been history of this, of, you know, tidbits of it and not very widespread parts of it. Yeah. Throughout the history. And obviously since internet started, there was some crappy clone movie with Robert De Niro about cloning kids, I think. And they had a fake website.
Hide and Seek?
No. It was before that. It's like around 2000 or so it came out. And that had a fake web page. So, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, you got to look at this kind of...
Yeah, but it's still a viral campaign.
Exactly. No, but that's what I'm saying. Is this,
if we can cover Angels and Demons,
yeah, well,
then
I think,
that's a viral campaign.
Well, I think Angels and Demons was more us thinking there was going to be more.
Yeah, but there wasn't.
Right, but, you know, once you start, you start. But I think that... We're looking at this new age of viral. So this, I think that Cloverfield and Dark Knight both kind of ushered in this new age of viral, where it becomes almost standard to think about, at least think about it. I mean, obviously only a few films are doing it, but
nine right. is
yeah. So there's a lot. I mean, but you know, look at how many movies come out a year and how many movies are doing viral. The percentage is still relatively small.
Yeah,
but it's growing and it's becoming a lot more commonplace. I mean, you see film sites. Well, I mean, even LA Times was talking about it. So, you know, obviously, I think it's more about the new age of viral that we're kind of talking about. Cloverfield being, yeah, this is a really big discussion about how we're trying to argue that Cloverfield started it all.
Yeah, but exactly. Technically, if you're looking at it from that perspective, The Dark Knight started it all.
Well, yeah, well, technically, yes, because they started their viral before Cloverfield, but the movie came out after Cloverfield. So
before Cloverfield.
I'm going by movie
more
release.
Well, put together.
Well, yes, but
remember,
still. But they still were remember, both part of that.
If you remember very clearly, Cloverfield pulled a District 9 on us, and it went dry for a little while.
Right, not as bad as District 9, but yeah.
Not as bad as District 9. Right. But now because, District 9 is overwhelming us. And
right.
And Cloverfield didn't pop back and overwhelm us.
Yeah.
But all they did was put up some videos on JL Loves TH.
Yeah, the YouTube videos too, though. The news articles and stuff.
Yeah, went for so long, and they put in that stupid picture of the chef with the Japanese recipe on the back, which I don't think anyone ever translated it.
No, they did. I don't remember
it was translated, but it meant
was.
Nothing for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, it meant nothing for the movie. There's obviously speculations of what it meant, but it meant nothing to the movie.
Right.
I mean, the only real big thing that happened in the Cloverfield viral once it picked back up was the Chowie station attack.
Right. They really kind of – they focused on that.
Yeah, that I mean, they should have at least mentioned it, like a news report, like
the no, you're right.
Chowey Station has been attacked, millions dead, more to be butt fucked.
You know, each viral is going to be different. Each one's going to make a mistake. Each one's going to fix it next time after, you know, the next time around. Not right, do the same thing the last one did.
Exactly. I think
Dark Knight didn't make a mistake.
Well, yeah, I mean, they happen to be pulled off very well. But you got to realize that every movie is doing a viral for a different reason. I mean, the obvious reason is to get people into the theater, but they still have another goal in mind. And so each one has their own goals that they're trying to accomplish with the viral.
Right.
And so you have to take that in consideration. And like Scott's saying, you know, there's going to be mistakes, and we're still in a new age of this. This whole idea of having such a complicated one, complicated viral where you have many sites and many things you're trying to do, even with all of Matt's examples, there's still the percentage of films that have done it versus the percentage of films that have existed in the history of mankind. Right, and so it's still new. It's still extremely new concept, and everyone's trying it out, trying different things, and trying to figure out what's going to work. Obviously, Dark Knight did it perfectly, but not every movie can do it like Dark Knight because they don't have the same storylines, they don't have the same characters, they don't have the same sources.
They can't do it perfectly like Dark Knight because they're not hiring to entertainment.
It's not that simple.
You can't say they didn't do it as perfectly as Dark Knight. You look at Dark Knight, you just say did it perfectly because you followed the viral into the movie. You don't know what District 9 is going to do. You don't know what Funny People is going to do.
Sure. I'm not saying District 9 is doing bad.
No, but I'm just saying that they could blow the viral of, you know, the Dark Knight out of the water. We don't know yet.
That's impossible.
That's the fun of viral. You know.
District 9, the D9 viral campaign has already fucked up too bad.
Blow out. I don't know about that. Well, I would argue that
dry spell is not good. And Dark
but
Knight,
now they're giving, you know, it's
right.
I don't know. I agree with you there. I think the dry spell.
It's either
because now they're pumping it up so much that honestly, it's tough to keep track of.
They should
six websites and what they're doing.
They should have spread it out better. Yeah, I think that Matt, you're really putting up this Dark Knight as being so amazing and so great. But you got to realize is that, you know, different films are going to have to do different things for their own, you know, they can't do the same thing. But, and I mean, and
I'm just saying that.
Scott's right too, though, about the films.
I agree that Scott's right, and but
you should all agree that Scott's right.
There you go.
But I. But
dot
the
com.
Reason, it the reason I don't think District 9 is going has already. Fucked up too much to be as good as Dark Knight is that Dark Knight, it never had a dry spell.
Right.
We got a new site every 3 weeks, a new game every 2 months, and we got new photos and a trailer released.
But you know what?
Yes.
The other thing too is, I mean, and this very well, who knows? This is just a shot in the dark here, but the whole dry spell with Dark Knight could very well, I mean, you figure the aliens have been there for 28 years. That dry spell could just involve the fact that they were living amongst, nothing was going on. It doesn't mean, you know, I don't think you're going to, I'm sorry, but I don't see a company as large as Sony starting a viral and then saying, well, I got nothing.
Yeah.
First, as long as they have, I mean, yes, it's bad. You shouldn't have gone that long without it, but there could be a reason. We don't know. I don't see.
I think. Go
ahead. No, I'm.
Point naked. No, I agree. I think that's you know, has a point where we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know why they're doing it exactly. And his earlier point about you can't really judge a viral until the film comes out. There's obviously certain very obvious things, like the fact that, you know, George turned this Christopher and things like that,
was terrible.
Right. There's certain things you can immediately point to, but I think that.
Yeah, but you know what? George could have been a human and now Christopher's the alien.
Exactly. So there's, you know, you really, really never know.
Yet they changed, on MNU. They that couldn't be because, they changed all the blog posts to Christopher. They went back and they changed George's sign off.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but yeah, I mean, so there's things that, but there's a point there too. Maybe things that we think are mistakes end up not being mistakes. They usually probably are mistakes, but there's always that chance. So I think that you have to see the film and then judge the viral because, you know, each viral will fit its film hopefully the best that it can. But
I'll add to my latest article the whole thing of, you know, George is now Christopher.
Yeah,
it's
he already
like,
wrote that.
I mentioned that somewhere.
Well, no, I'm just saying that, you know, it could have been, you know, George you know, turned to Christopher because it was Christopher all along. They thought it was George, and they got a mistake because aliens are aliens, kind of a deal, you know? And then they said, whoops, and went back and changed it. So one of those things that might not be released until the movie's out. We don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. I just can't wrap my brain around the fact that they could make such a big mistake like that.
Well, it takes is one idiot on Twitter. That's all it takes.
Well, I mean, I think if there was a real it's supposed to be George, and then they messed it up, and you know, I think that they would have gone back and fixed it better. But there's a, you know, he's right. This is Sony Pictures. I mean, they should know better. This is still kind of, you know, new stuff, so maybe, you know, they don't know the best way to do it. But I think that they I think anybody would recognize the concept of 6 months with nothing is bad. So there's got to, I would hope that there's, you know, maybe their money dried up. Maybe there's got to be something behind it, other than just they forgot or something.
The only reason that I think D9 went onto a dry spell is they just put it up at Comic-Con so they could get everyone there to go sign up and register for updates. Mm-hmm. And then they barrage them with the greatest butt-fucking ever on their spam
accounts. But you know what? How many people actually let go of it within that dry spell?
Yeah, a lot of people still stayed. So
we're getting more and more people, I think, you know, on the front page than ever. You know, they're starting to sign up in the forum. So, yeah, they went and they screwed you for 6 months, but people are still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're still following it.
They're. How do we know that they've been following it? They might have just found out about it.
Sony doesn't really care.
they screwed the viral loyalists, and it's just not cool.
But I can make an argument that Sony doesn't really care. I mean, they want butts in the seat, and if – it means that they have to take a break for a while so that they can save their money and then do it all in the next couple months before the film comes out. And yet they still get what potentially might be the same amount of people following it as there would have been if they kept going.
Exactly. There's probably more people that just go to the movies based on a trailer than there are people like us that sit here and look at the little cloud in the
sky. That's where Sony fucked up on their latest viral with the 2012. They scheduled that for – should be out by now, right?
Well, yeah,
if they wouldn't have delayed it, it should be out by now, right?
Right. It was a summer movie. I can't remember what the original date was.
But then they moved it to November, and they already had the viral going strong.
Yeah, so they had to kind of find a way. So that's interesting to see how they're going to keep going, because obviously we've already seen them not really doing a whole lot of updates. I mean, Charlie Frost, that's about it.
Who's the guy that plays Charlie Frost? He looks very familiar.
Woody Harrelson.
Seriously?
Yes. Mm-hmm. How do you not notice that?
I mean, did not notice.
Yeah, but I don't know how big of a part he'll be in the actual movie, though.
Maybe he'll pull a Jamie.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. Yeah, I was gonna say that's the thing too. Is if you look at a lot of these viral characters, they mean nothing in the films, and you could honestly say that for just about every single viral that's out there.
It's Leo Spitz, Robo Warrior.
Yeah, right. It's just
that's the one. That's
nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and even people who are in the film.
Dent was a very big part of the.
Dark Knight's an example of where they actually involved.
They brought Eckhart in to film a viral video. Yeah, they brought Christian Bale in to film a viral video.
They're the exception to the rule.
Stop with that, man.
Michael.
Matt is just like having a hard on for the Dark Knight viral, like no other. Matt, pretty much anytime we
talk, I keep my swag from that viral locked up into a glass box.
I'm sure you do. Matt, pretty much whenever we talk about virals, we're usually excluding Dark Knight from our discussion because
that's from this point forward.
Yeah, because it's obviously that they've done it right, especially in your eyes. And so we're talking about all the other virals.
I think, but Transformers 2 did it right also. That's the best they could have done a viral for that film.
Yeah, but
although there was one site that went nowhere, but
right, exactly. So I mean, everyone makes
maybe
mistakes.
Maybe we should check Robo Warrior's site for.
They've done anything else? Most
for the video
things,
that he scooped.
Oh yeah, I mean, and it's funny because I always find it amusing. Just like as soon as the movie comes out, all these sites go dead. Like they still exist, but they don't do anything. It's just so. I wish that'd be kind of cool if they could. It can't cost you that much to do it. You already have the site. Yeah, it'd be nice if they did little things here and there. They did it once for. Well, Cloverfield did it a little bit for their DVD, but. You know, it's kind of sad. It's like so obvious. It's like, boom, as soon as the movie comes out, it's just like abandon the site.
Yeah, well, and Dark Knight first things you do is check it.
Yeah, especially when the movie comes out. I think if you're going to do it, I mean, you really should look at, you know, at least throughout the weekend, if not another week, because people are going to check it.
How many hits do you think the site would get right after a movie?
I bet you. I mean, you so many. I mean, look at how many people watch the film. You get, you know, You get maybe $1 million a day, you know, who knows? I mean, you, because people actually see the film, now they want to go back and be like, oh, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and then you get people
permission
word of mouth.
Mention The Dark Knight?
Okay. Yes.
I thought we got rid of that.
Well, The Dark Knight, they added incentive to follow the viral.
Mm-hmm. Everyone, that's important.
Everyone that followed the viral got to see the movie 3 days early and a day before the critics saw it. So I was in the first audience to see the movie.
Right.
We saw it, all saw it at the same time, but I was one of the first few hundred people to see the movie.
Right.
Because the West Coast, they didn't do much, and there were only three showings on the East Coast.
Hmm.
In New York, Carolina, and Georgia. New York, Carolina. No. New York, Georgia, and Florida.
Okay.
But
your point is that you need incentives.
They added incentive to everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's important. I mean, obviously, Star Trek did that.
District 9 isn't adding any incentives, just hearing your voice on a website that only 300 people visit.
But you know what?
There's different kinds of incentives.
Incentives can be, yeah, I got to see the movie within the first 100 times, or incentives can be, I'm going to check the site again because I want to see what's updated.
Yeah,
that's an incentive all in itself, is to make you go back to that website every other day and see what's new. Sorry, that's an incentive.
Yeah, but you're looking at what do you get out of it? And I think that it doesn't always have to be prizes or early showings. It can be things like you're able to buy Slush Up stuff only because you follow the site. You're able to get information on these characters. You're able to get clips. You know, there's a lot of different ways people can get something out of a viral. It doesn't have to be a prize.
Here's another incentive, and we'll just use our forum for an example.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you find something first?
Right.
Feel pretty decent about it. Like we got one forum. Everybody else has a forum.
Right.
But, I mean, that's a pretty decent incentive, too, to find something for the first time.
Exactly.
And post about it. And, you feel as if, you've done something good.
Exactly. I remember when I – on the 1808 news forum that we used to have, when I first signed up, it was huge. There was tons of people on it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. everyone was looking for that scoop. And as soon as you get it on, you wanted to be that first person to put it on there.
Right.
And I remember
that's an incentive. That's you doing your part in that viral. That's an incentive. Yeah, I didn't get free tickets, but I got a high five and a pat on the back. That's that's
something at least, and then you obviously get to join a nice forum where you meet lots of friends.
Like God.
Exactly. There's a little plug for our own forum, by the way. Oh, Matt's cutting out again. Oh, that's good.
Matt's cutting out. No more Batman talk.
I know, really.
Okay, but I'm not following. I didn't follow the Angels and Demons viral.
There wasn't much
I didn't
to follow.
I didn't follow the Watchmen viral.
Okay.
And I'm probably not going to follow Funny People that much, even though I do like Randy's soundboard.
Right.
But there's no incentive for me. There's no reason for me to do it.
Every person has their own reasons. And I think Funny People actually has a really good incentive because it's comedy. You get funny clips. You get things that may not be in the movie, and yet they're funny and it's interesting, and that's incentive right there for me. I mean, I just love it because some of the Adam Sandler clips are just hilarious.
Well, if you look at it that way too, and again, we'll go back to Cloverfield and stuff like that, when they had the CloverfieldFiles.com website. You had to put in the clues to get all the different videos.
Oh, right. I remember that. That was
good. I put all those videos on a DVD, whether it's illegal or not, I apologize. But I put them all on a DVD, and now that's my incentive. That's my little extra footage that I have.
There you go.
That wasn't on the DVD.
There you go. So, yeah, there's different incentives for everyone. There are going to be people like Matt who need something extra, like a prize or early showing. There's people
you
like
selfish bastard.
I know, and there's people like me and Scott who just getting extra footage is enough. That kind of thing. Or like we mentioned the forum. I mean, there's a lot of people, especially in their teens, who tend to really love forums and love being that first because maybe you don't have the ability to watch some of this stuff or to go to some of these things. So just knowing that on a forum you get to be that person, people notice you. That can be enough for some people, especially people mm-hmm. with low self-esteem.
Yeah. The only use I have for the Funny People viral is to prank call people with the Randy soundboard.
There you go. There's an incentive right there.
That's an incentive, but I've already prank called everyone in my phone.
It's an incentive that you get to use on your own, and you're gonna go see the movie because of Randy.
I'll watch the bootleg.
Same thing. Yeah. Whether you're paying for it or you're stealing it, it's the same thing. You're gonna watch it.
Yeah. So at the very least, you have word of mouth. And, you know, that's all that matters sometimes.
And you heard it here first that Matt steals movies.
Exactly.
This is gonna really steals.
I don't have my sound effect queued for the sirens.
Oh.
Can you edit this out so like I don't get busted or anything?
Sure, Matt. This will be edited out. Wink.
So I don't know. It's gonna vary. Yeah. Everybody's gonna look at a viral different. Some people are just gonna say, "Wow, that's cool," and never follow it again.
Right.
And
we put stuff on our YouTube page and people see it and they're like, "What the heck is this?" They don't even know what we're talking about. And so, you know, there's going to be those people where, at the very least, there's people who never even follow stuff, but they see maybe just one clip or just one little news story. And that's enough, at least, for them to kind of get it in their head, like, "Oh, what is this thing?" And then, then maybe they'll see the film where they'll say it, you know, they'll mention it to somebody. You know, it doesn't always have to be people following the viral. I mean, obviously, that's what the point is. But, you know, you get these kind of side effects of it where, at the very least, people kind of catch a glimpse of it. They catch a whim of it and they go, "Oh, what's this?" And
right.
You know, that's the whole point of this, what viral means even, is the spread of, you know, it spreads through, through words and stuff like that. So, everyone's going to have their own reasons for following or not following. And, you know, and that's part of the thing for a film. Maybe you can even look at the type of film it is and looking at what's going to be best for your film. I can't imagine how hard it is to create a good viral and to, you know, the people behind it and having to think like, okay, this is what we need and it's got to fit our movie, but we got to try to get the right kind of people, you know, to follow mm-hmm. it. That's a lot of stuff you have to put into that. And hopefully, I mean, I'm thinking from the way these things, especially you look at Dark Knight and some of these ones that made a lot of money, you know, you're hoping that that's incentive for them to go, okay, we have to really sit down and go, okay, well, how can we do this? And you're going to see this stuff get better and better. I mean, you know, District 9 made some mistakes, but it's done some crazy good stuff.
Right.
And I think you're going to see that. You're going to see them, you know, they're going to fine tune this stuff and it's just going to be amazing. And then it'll just become boring. But until then.
Well, I mean, the thing is, too, is you're looking at it and they're going to have to fine tune it because you look at places like Facebook and Twitter, the viral is fed to you.
Right.
You don't have to search for it. So they need to do something. People are so reliant on, you know, "Oh, is there an update on my Twitter?" That's not viral. That was given to you. You know, find it yourself. That's viral.
Yeah, and that's tough because you got to realize that, you know, we're seeing a lot of films recently where their viral sites are giving you links to the other viral sites.
That's just Sony.
It's been mostly Sony.
It's Sony.
And I think that you're going to see, is that something that's going to continue to happen? Dumbing down the viral. I did a post about this a while ago. The idea of, you know, they want more people to get involved, so will they then dumb it down? And I really hope that doesn't happen because – you know, we never even got confirmation that any of the Cloverfield sites were real, I think.
We were following one site until
Ethan Hawke,
the makers,
right?
Of it. No. Not Ethan Hawke.
It's not – that site. What are you talking about?
Okay, but there was a site like something, but it showed a picture. It was like New York. It had a blue overlay on it, like. You saw the Dark Knight posters, right?
Was it with the big ball in the beginning, in the front of it?
No, not fucking Ethan Hawke.
Okay, go on.
Okay, but it's like the same palette they used on the Dark Knight posters.
Okay.
Where the whole city was blue and the lights were blue and everything.
Uh-huh.
And it was like that, and there was some smoke coming up. And then they updated it, and they added forums. People were following this for like 2 months. On IMDb, they would just post updates and updates. Mm-hmm. And then one day, the douchebags that run the place, they decide, "Ha ha, you're all faggots for following this bullshit. Get a life, you sorry sons of bitches." I remember that.
Wow.
That was the exact same quote. And that pissed off so many people on IMDb. That. And I think douchebags like that can drive people away from viral campaigns.
Yeah, but you don't see that a whole lot, though. So, I mean, that's a good thing. But maybe
think
that's
about all the fake sites for.
No, yeah.
For Cloverfield. There was 0-000.com.
I remember that. And there was, I remember, like, Bolt, because they had, Todd Grotto had a bunch of companies, but only Slusho had a site, really. And so yes. So people would try to make their own ones. I remember Bolt Futura, I think it was. They kept,
yeah, Bolt Futura.
Yeah, people kept trying to make the remember there was the one, I think it was boldfutura.net, and they kept trying to bring it back, and then people would go, no, this is fake, and then they would just bring it back again, and it's like, no, we still know this is fake.
And they had Gani Yoshida's MySpace page.
Oh, I remember that. And they had a Slusho thing. There was so much fakery, and I can see that's why Sony's doing this. That's why Sony's going through and saying, these are the official sites, but it dumbs it down. It's like, that's part of the fun, is trying to find the real ones from the fake ones.
And I kind of have a theory on Cloverfield that I've never unleashed on anyone.
Let's hear it.
It's ancient. Remember back when J.J. Abrams said Greg Grunberg was going to have a role?
Right, and he ended up not.
In Cloverfield?
Right.
Because he has a role in all of J.J. Abrams' stuff. He was
right.
The pilot in Lost and Kirk's dad.
His stepfather.
Stepdad. His stepfather. Well, Kirk was playing the classical music in his Corvette.
but he wasn't
they
in
said Cloverfield. He was going to have a role in the movie. And if you look at the photos on Takurato,
uh-huh.
If you look at the one of Gani Yoshida where he's standing in front of the window,
mm-hmm.
That looks just like Matt Bartman.
Hmm.
Exactly.
I think I remember talking about this. I never really saw him. I mean, I get why it looks kind of like him, but I never thought it was him.
It looks like him from the back, so maybe they may have a role in the second one, if they ever make one.
But it's supposed to be an Asian dude.
Yeah, but all it takes is a little black face.
Wow.
And why did they blur that guy's face in the trailer?
In what trailer?
Remember the trailer for Cloverfield, where they had the army general and his face
yeah.
was blurred?
I don't know. That's ancient history. I'm not sure. I remember that. I mean, that was weird. Because in the movie, he was...
What? Go ahead.
In the movie, he was actually, you know, normal. Like, he wasn't blocked out, so.
So maybe it was Greg Grunberg in blackface.
Wow, that's probably what it was. So,
I mean, yeah, it's sort of like Ghostbusters. Did you know Ron Jeremy was in that movie?
No.
He's in the background, and you ever seen Teen Wolf?
Yeah.
You know, at the end basketball scene?
Yeah.
Where everyone jumps up?
Yeah.
In the stouts?
Yeah.
In the stands? Some dude has his dick out, and he jumps up with it out.
I think I remember that. I think I remember hearing about that.
That's legit, too.
Yeah, I've heard about that. That's funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. What was the point of all this?
I have no idea. Weren't we supposed to talk about funny people?
Well, we did. We pretty much covered it all. I think
I kind of have something I want to talk about real quick.
Okay, sure.
But to all the parents out there that listen to this, or the 30-year-old men, but if you have a son, whatever you do, do not buy them the main Transformers toys. Do
Why
not.
Is that? Why is that?
I have a very bad horror story here, but I got Leader Class Jetfire and Leader Class Optimus Prime. Those are the biggest you can get. They're around $50 a piece, and I wanted to combine them.
Okay.
And it already took me 2.5 hours to get Jetfire into jet mode to do it. And it's completely movie accurate because there's shit falling off all the time.
Hmm.
But once you do that, you got to tinker with him for like 30 minutes before you can even get him ready to combine with him. And once you start doing that, you're going to have shit breaking, shit snapping in half. And when you finally get it and you bring around to strap it off, it'll fall off. And it took me like 100 attempts just to get it right. But I'm satisfied with it now that I finally got it, and it's probably never going to get uncombined. But if there's any parents out there, just get them the little small figures or the fast-action battlers or maybe even a robot replica, but stay away from the Leader Class.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good to know.
Because if I was 5 years old, I would hate my parents if they bought me that. I would hate them with the passion.
Well, that's a good public service announcement from MovieViral.com. All right, well, I think that we pretty much covered everything we wanted to cover.
What's the next podcast, Daniel?
I'm not sure what we're going to cover. What movie came out this weekend, Bruno, other than that? Anything else?
I can look up the release. Oh, yeah. Harry Potter.
I don't think anybody's going to watch that. What?
I am.
Are you?
Everyone watches Harry Potter.
Wow.
Deuce.
Well, maybe you can join Nick next week when he does his podcast.
Nice.
And you guys can talk about that and other stuff. I'm sure there'll be more viral news next week.
Yes. And G.I. Joe. That's going to be our greatest podcast ever. Just letting you guys know.
Yeah, so after G.I. Joe releases, I know Matt and Scott, and is that it?
Yeah, me, Scott, and David, and maybe Nick.
We'll do. They'll all do a G.I. Joe podcast.
There's going to be wacky fart sound effects.
I'm sure it will.
We're definitely going to have to integrate the interracial sitcom kiss sound effect. fart noises.
You guys have good luck with that. Alright, well, that's it for us here at Movie Viral. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for Matt for being here, and Scott, of course. And that's pretty much it. So, thanks for being with us.
That bullshit's over.